Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
10 past 3 on a Saturday. Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out. And I brought it up during the headlines a moment ago, E. The Twins are road warriors. They've been much better on the road this year. They were leaking oil when they left Target Field at the bad end of a three-game sweep by the Houston Astros. They go to Anaheim, and they've picked it up quite a bit. They played pretty good ball the past couple of nights.
Yeah, and they've really kind of turned things around very quickly, and you brought up that Astros series, and I saw two of those games over at Target Field. I know a lot of people were really distressed with the way the bullpen imploded. They were outscored 40 to, I think, 17 in the three-game series. But first and foremost, Houston's the best team in baseball right now. That team, to me, has the look and the feel of a potential World Series champion. I know it's very early, but that's a very good baseball team with tremendous offensive talent with guys like Springer and Correa and Altuve, and then, of course, Dallas Keuchel leading the way on the pitching mound. But they go on the road, get a couple of wins against the Angels, who are scuffling. And I agree with you, though. It's remarkable. They're 12-18 at home, 16-5 on the road. That is just an odd stat in Major League Baseball. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, and the Twins, though, and on that home stand with the Rays and the Astros, there were signs that the Twins have been doing it with smoke and mirrors. Irvin Santana, the bullpen at times has been taxed. But beyond Irvin Santana, even Jose Barrios got off to a quick start after getting called up, but showed signs of maybe not being 100% ready to pitch every fifth day in the major leagues. And then, you know, the rest of the starters have certainly had their ups and downs. And it still gets back to starting pitching. You need more than Irvin Santana. And I think over the long haul, you brought up the Angels are struggling. They played a lot of teams in the division so far this season that have been struggling. That's the concern. Ultimately, can the Twins hold it together with the quality or lack thereof of starting pitching they have?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a question mark. But I will say this, and you know, things ebb and flow quickly in a long 162 game season. Yeah. That's why the old cliche, don't get too high, don't get too low, just kind of, you know, flatline it, I think holds true, because when they left town, a lot of us thought, okay, these are the cracks. The foundation is not as strong as we thought. The pitching was exposed by the Astros and to some degree by the Tampa Bay Rays. Now they'll go on this road trip and they'll come back and Cleveland will have the division. Well, that hasn't happened. The Twins are back in first place. And they came up with a couple of nice wins out there in SoCal. They had their big offensive game last night with, as you mentioned in the update, three guys hitting a pair of two-run home runs, Mauer, Grossman, and Kepler. They win 11-5. They win 4-2 on Thursday. They turn a triple play. They had a comeback win on Thursday, so that was a good win. And now they have Irvin Santana on the mound tonight against the LA Angels, even though you know, he hasn't been as dominant in his last three or four starts as he was early. He's still very good. He gave them what they wanted against the Astros in that Memorial Day game, but then once they went to the bullpen, we forgot about that because Houston had an 11-run eighth inning and everything unraveled. But Santana, the ERA is still unbelievable. Lowest ERA in the American League right now, 1.75. He's 7-2, and he's going to be fired up, Stevie T. He's a former Angel. And they made a bad trade a few years ago with Kansas City, the Brandon Sisk deal, sending him off to KC. I mean, Santana's numbers in Orange County, 8 seasons, 05 to 2012. He won 96 games, started 8 postseason games, and threw a no-hitter in 2011. I'm not quite sure why the LA Angels got rid of him.
Yeah, and he's been really good for the Twins. You look at his numbers over the last year, you know, this season, and what he was able to do in 2016 on a dreadful team. He's put up some really good numbers. And that's why if the Twins start trending more like they did on the last homestand with Tampa Bay and Houston, that this guy would have tremendous value for the Twins on the trade market. Now, granted, it's early June, and the non-waiver trade deadline is the end of July, so there's still quite a ways between now and then. But if the starting pitching beyond Irvin Santana continues to struggle, it might be an irresistible chip for Derek Falvey and Thad Levine to not play and bring in a lot of young kids.
Well, you listen to any
and I
offer.
Know you're anti that. I mean, you don't want to go
well,
in that direction.
Well, I am at this point in time because I look at the standings. I see the Twins in first place by a game over Cleveland.
Right.
And I think for Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, it's a bit of a conundrum. I understand what you're saying. And there's temptation. And they're probably going to get it with Brian Dozier again. But you have to ask yourself, you know, they're 23rd out of 30 in attendance. Is there a way to bring people into the ballpark when we get into the summer months? Because they have not been flocking to Target Field, even though this team's done pretty well. So if you peddle somebody like Santana, will the fan base be even more angry? Prospects, yes, they can help, but there's never a guarantee they're going to come in and do what you think. The other thing, though, is the division. I'm looking at the Central now. There's only two teams above 500, Cleveland and Minnesota. And really, the Twins are only five games above sea level. The Indians are three above. Everybody else is below 500 in the division. So it may not be as good a division as we've seen in years past. So I think Falvey and Levine also have to look at that and say, well, wait a minute. Maybe we're going to hang around in this thing if we win 85 to 90. 85 to 90 might get it done. I realize Cleveland hasn't gotten real hot yet. Who knows what they're going to do? So I think there's a lot of things to consider. You have a wild card spot out there, a couple of them you can chase. I wouldn't trade Irvin or Dozier. I would try to add as long as I don't mortgage the future. I know that's easier said than done. But my goodness, they are in first place.
Yeah, over the long haul, you would think. At this point in time, here on June 3rd, that over the long haul, the Cleveland Indians still have the deepest team, the deepest starting pitching. You compare these teams side by side over the long haul, and that's what's so great about a major league season. 162 games. You start in April, you end in late September and early October, and generally you're going to get the top teams emerging as division champs, and then the other, you know, you're going to get a couple of wild cards in each league. Over the long haul, I still like Cleveland. Any reasonable fan would say that. But you're right. As long as they're going right now and finding a way to win ball games on the road and beat up on teams that are struggling, you got to hang in there. It just creates an interesting situation. If they're still hanging around, you get beyond, say, the 4th of July, you get to the All-Star break, and the Twins are still in the mix, then that's when it really gets tricky. It's still early June, still a lot of time to wait and see. But if you're still in the mix, when you come out of that All-Star break, that's when it really gets tough for Falvey and Levine, in my opinion. If they're out of it by then it's easy. Then you try and get what you can for Irvin Santana, in my opinion.
I agree to a point. I still think we don't know for sure if this team can do it over the long haul. And again, when I look at the standings on June 3rd, they may look a lot different in late September, but all you can go on is really the here and the now. So even if you're right, even if Cleveland eventually takes over in the Central, like most people think the Indians will, they're the defending American League champs. They're very good. Start looking around. You've got wild card spots out there as well. Okay, in the East, the Yankees are playing very well. But Baltimore, Boston have records similar to Minnesota. Tampa Bay, a game over 500. In the West, barring a collapse, you can already give the Houston Astros that division. Everybody else is under 500. So you can get into the playoffs without winning your division. You can punch a wild card ticket. So I think that's the other thing Falvey and Levine have to keep in mind. We can still maybe get in the playoffs if we don't win the division.
Here's the only concern, though. Santana is a chip because he's signed beyond this year. And Santana's moving into his mid-30s. And I'm just wondering if you strike while the iron's hot, because there's so many other needs with this ball club. There's so much pitching depth concern. you know, what lurks at low A ball or high A ball? Or now I know you're going to get the number one overall pick, but what's that? A couple years from the big leagues, best case scenario. So that they still have to think about, you know, yeah, can we make a run now? And I know we've talked about the here and now in sports, and you got to try and win now. But could they possibly add enough to realistically get over the hump in 2017?
Well, I'm not sure. Kyle Gibson got the win last night. Can they get more out of Kyle Gibson? That's a big question. Phil Hughes, certainly, when he comes back. Hector Santiago. I think, you know, in the here and the now, it's an interesting debate because you have to have an eye on the future. You always do in pro sports. But I think you have to be concerned about what's going on now, too, especially with the Minnesota Twins, who haven't been in the playoffs since 2010, the debut year of Target Field. So when you keep focusing on tomorrow and talking about tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. I mean, at some point, you got to think about today. And you have a fan base that, quite frankly, I don't think they're buying in yet, even though it's a first-place team. I go to the ballpark a lot. They're not selling it out. Now we're past Memorial Day, Stevie T. We talk about it all the time, especially here in the North. The Twins butter their bread between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Kids will be out of school soon. Weather apparently has turned for the better. It's 88 degrees right now. This is when they should get some people going into the ballpark and supporting the team. I just would hate to see them peddle Santana when they still have a shot. I don't know what kind of message that sends. I get it. Yeah, we need more. There are holes. But the way I look at it now, they probably will be able to hang around, especially if they keep winning on the road. If they can play 500 at home and win on the road, things are going to be good.
Yeah, I still think they have about 5 weeks until it really starts to get interesting when they really need to say,
well,
okay.
Where do you think they'll be, let's say, at the All-Star break when the top players go down to Miami for the Midsummer Classic?
I hope they're in first, but I don't think they will be. I'll leave it at that.
All right. I say they will be very much in the chase for a playoff spot.
All right. And then it'll get very interesting for Mr. Falvey and Levine on what course they chart going forward. All right. We got a break, 3:22. We're getting NBA. We've got NHL, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final. By the way, Minnesota United FC coming up today. They're at Sporting Kansas City. The Lynx are on the road at Seattle trying to remain unbeaten. Seattle, a pretty good team. We'll get into all of that coming up here on Sports Saturday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
3:25 on a Saturday. Steve and Eric hanging out. Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator. Minnesota United FC on the road, Sporting Kansas City. They'll play today at 4. Lynx on the road. They're at Seattle tonight. 8 o'clock start there, and the Saints on the road. They're down in Texas. They're playing at Laredo right now, and they've got a long, long road trip in the American Association. And those are real road trips. Those are old-school minor league road trips. They get on the bus, and they put a lot of miles on in the American Association.
Yeah, no question. And at that level, ooh, especially when you look at the Saints, they're one of the northernmost teams along with Winnipeg. When they go down that far, that's basically going to be all done in one swift swoop. So get ready to be gone for a while. As you said, bus rides. We're not talking five-star hotels. Probably Comfort Inn, Super 8s, things like that at a block rate. But, yeah, they do that every year. You know, you go down and you play the Texas teams, sometimes the Missouri or Kansas teams, and by the time they get back to St. Paul, CHS Field has to look awfully good.
You know, in the old Northern League, I did one road trip. The regular play-by-play guy, Brian Burkett, had to attend a wedding in his home state of California. I did home games with Brian. So I did the home part of the schedule, and he would travel on the road. Well, he couldn't go to Winnipeg, and I flat out said, I'm not riding on the bus. I'll drive to Winnipeg from Sioux Falls. So my wife went, and I only had one young child at the time, so you know we made a little getaway of it. So we hop in the car, head up I-29 to Winnipeg, cross the border, settle in. The hotel we stayed in, I'm not going to name names. It was the dive of all dives. I mean, it was the filthiest. It was terrible. I mean, it was to the point, we're not eating here, we're not getting near the pool. I mean, it was one of those where you wanted to wash the bedding when you got into the room. So anyway, just to give you an idea. And it was like the hottest stretch of weather in Winnipeg in like 10 years.
And that's saying something.
It was in the mid-90s, it was humid, and it was windy for three games in a row. And they played at the old football stadium up there, because they have a beautiful new park downtown, right. I understand. But they played at the old football stadium, and you literally had to call the game from the football press box, you know, looking down into the corner. So it was hot, it was windy, the hotel was terrible. I made little no money. And then when they handed out the per diem envelope, you know, I had to try and feed a wife and a young daughter on that for this three games. It was unbelievable. That was my one road trip in the minor leagues, and I had had enough. Three games, it was like, I'm done. No thanks.
I'm sure you scored some points with Michelle. Because
they still had fun, because while I was doing the ball games, they were kind of exploring Winnipeg. And it is a great town. If you've been to Winnipeg, it really is a good town. Great people, beautiful city. It's very enjoyable. The hotel, though, was no stars. But other than that, calling the ball games were enjoyable. I mean, that was fun. I loved doing games. That was great. But just the whole road, and I'm thinking about, and I think in those days, then they were hopping on the bus and heading over to Thunder Bay, which is a haul from Winnipeg over to Thunder Bay. And then I think from there they were going to Duluth. And, I mean, it was just like, wow. These young guys really pay their dues on the bus in the minor leagues.
There's no question that St. Paul's on it. They started in Cleburne, Laredo, Grand Prairie, Kansas City. And then they are back home on June 12 in St. Paul. It is remarkable.
Yeah, and all the Mad Can Don Supper Club.
Exactly.
You can eat. Yeah.
I did Gopher baseball for a couple years, and that was a mix and match of some flights and some bus trips. And I can remember we were doing the Big Ten tournament in Champaign, and we had flown down to, I think, Chicago, and then got on a bus to go to Champaign. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's
pretty easy.
I've done that. Yeah. I've flown to Midway and then gone to Champaign.
And,
to do
and
game.
They have the same per diem deal. It's not a whole lot, but you make it work. But I can remember they had this big rally on a Saturday night to extend the Big Ten tournament for the Gophers into a Sunday. And all of a sudden the travel plans blew up. And John Anderson, Rob Fornasier, that group, all of a sudden I could hear them saying, okay, we have a bus at the ready. The next thing you know, Big Ten tournament over, we're on the bus, Champaign to Minneapolis, driving through the night, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Oh, man, they pay their dues. And in the American Association, you know, you think about the Midwest League, for instance. That's low A ball. And the Twins affiliate right now, I believe, is in Cedar Rapids.
Colonels. Yeah, the Colonels.
And they've got teams around Wisconsin and Illinois and Iowa and so on and so forth. There's Beloit. There was a Twins affiliate for a while. And those are some long trips, but not like the American Association. Minnesota to Texas?
Yeah.
Man,
and when you think about it, if you look on a map, Laredo, Texas is the southernmost point of I-35. So I-35 goes Duluth to Laredo.
Isn't that where Red Cross to visit Andy in Mexico? Shawshank Redemption.
It may references. Well have been.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was Port Hancock, Texas.
Well, Laredo
where is. Red crossed over.
Laredo's
the
there. I think you can see Mexico from the ballpark. They're logging the bus miles.
But these are young guys chasing a dream. You know, it is. Like I say, I did one three-gamer, and that's enough of the minor leagues. 331 here at CCO. 3:37, it is a Saturday. Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out here on CCO. Minnesota United FC, they're on the road at Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City today at 4 o'clock, and that game is on ESPN, and then the Lynx tonight at Seattle at 8 o'clock. The Lynx unbeaten out of the gate. That's really extraordinary. You talk about teams, slow starts, fast starts. The Lynx under Cheryl Reeve. You can almost count on a fast start. A year ago, I believe it was, 13-1 out of the gate? 13-0 maybe? And they're 6-0 already, and they play a very good Seattle team tonight.
And they're a team that loves playing in May. I think they have a 23-game winning streak in the month of May. And, yeah, this game tonight might be their biggest challenge to date. The Storm are 4-1. I had Cheryl on Thursday night when I was in for Maxie, and she flat out said, look, we're going to go into Key Arena, and that fan base is going to be ready for us because the Lynx, I know they're not the reigning champs LA is, but the Lynx have cachet. I mean, when they travel and come into your building, that's circled on the calendar. Other teams want to beat the Minnesota Lynx, and it is extraordinary what they've been able to do, Stevie T, on a year-in, year-out basis. I think we're numb to their success here in Minnesota. They always start fast, and what I love now is they've added another superstar to their core in Sylvia Fowles, who's the WNBA Player of the Week now two straight weeks. And what she's doing, she's averaging a double-double, over 20 points a game and over 10 rebounds a game. So you can talk all you want about Maya Moore and Lindsay Whalen, Simone Augustus, Rebecca Brunson, but Sylvia Fowles getting it done.
Yeah, it is. And Sylvia Fowles, in some way, shape, not only was turned conference player of the month, and I remember a couple of seasons ago, I believe she came over two seasons ago to join the Lynx. I'm sure
yes.
Jonathan Walker.
It was close to the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
And I kind of brought her up as an X factor when she came over. And then a year ago, because you've got Maya Moore, rightfully so, Simone Augustus, Lindsay Whalen. But you could argue that not only is she Western Conference Player of the Month, might be the most reliable performer night in and night out for the Minnesota Lynx. And that's quite a group there. Well, Maya Moore's got off to a slow
right
start.
Right now, I think she is.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty of the Lynx is, not that I hope or expect Fowles to slow down or drop off, but if she does, well, that's probably when Maya will heat up and do what she normally does. So they have so many outstanding pieces and cogs in that wheel. And you know, I think the Lynx are a lot like the two teams we're seeing in the NBA Finals, Golden State and Cleveland. There's not a lot of selfishness on that team. And there could be because you have superstars. And you certainly don't see it with the Cavaliers and you don't see it with the Warriors, in my opinion. And that's the key to winning. The key to winning when you have all this talent is to get everybody to buy into the ultimate goal, wins. Not your minutes, not your points, not your rebounds, but the team getting wins. And Minnesota, the Lynx, Cheryl Reeve, her staff, they do a great job of making sure these gals are focused on winning. And I don't even think Cheryl has to tell them that. That's just the way they are.
Yeah, good story, and they'll try and keep it going at Seattle tonight. No TV for that game as well. Speaking of hoops, NBA Finals Game 2 tomorrow night in Oakland, Golden State and Cleveland. All Golden State in Game 1, and It is amazing. There just hasn't been a lot of great theater in the NBA playoffs. Now, Cleveland can change all of that with a comeback and a win in Game 2, play well, series goes back to Cleveland, tied at a game apiece, and who knows? But if Game 1 is any indication, the Golden State Warriors have a legit chance to go 16-0.
Yeah, they're saying faux. Never been done before in NBA history. Look, we were talking about it last week.
I think Cleveland will get one somewhere.
I tend to agree with you. It's only one game, but I will say this, and this has kind of been my stock reply to, you know, going into this series, why I think Golden State will win. I mean, a year ago, it took 7 games, remarkable comeback, being down 3-1 for Cleveland to win it. So Golden State adds Kevin Durant to the mix in the offseason, one of the top 5 players in the association. I think Kevin Durant is good enough to get the Warriors at least one more game in a series compared to last year, and one more game means they win. And I think we saw it on Thursday night. KD was brilliant, 38 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and he is hungry. He doesn't have the title. And until he gets it, he's not going to be probably recognized as this great player that he is. I mean, he's looked at as a great player, but I mean, The ring is it just stamps your legacy. It cements things. A lot of good players don't have one. A lot of superstars: Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, John Stockton. But no doubt they wanted one.
A theme this spring, Eric, and we've talked about it over and over, and it's worth bringing up now that we're in the finals and Golden State won big in game one. This is not a good thing for the league. You know, say what you want. Kevin Durant, and I'm not being critical of Kevin Durant. He served out his contract with Golden State. He abided by the terms of the contract and was free to go anywhere. Free agency is a good thing. I'm totally in favor of it, not negative. He chose to go to Golden State. They were able to make it work out. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, now Kevin Durant. An embarrassment of riches. They are now a whopping 13-0 in the NBA playoffs on the way to potentially another title, their first in a couple of years. But what it sets the stage for is a period of dominance. You know, what home do other teams have in the West? What hope? Even if LeBron James, who's he going to try and recruit to Cleveland for next year? Once again, I can sit here in early June of 2017 and probably pretty accurately predict who are going to be back in the finals in June of 2018. I don't think that's good. That's a problem.
I think where we're at is good. I think Cavs and Warriors garners a lot of attention. It moves the meter. I think people pay attention to these teams because they are just, there's so much star power. But I think how we've gotten to where we're at is very bad because just what you said. There's no challenger. There's nobody up in the West or the East that's pushing any of these teams. And that's what I think Adam Silver in the NBA has to hope happens next season, that there's somebody along the way who can legitimately challenge Golden State or San Antonio. Now, look, we saw, or I should say Cleveland, San Antonio, big lead game one against the Warriors, Kawhi Leonard goes down, and that was the end of the movie. But even if they win that game, I still think the Warriors take this series. And Cleveland, you know, I would say this. Boston and San Antonio on paper look like the teams that would have the best chance to push Cleveland and Golden State. And the league needs to hope that happens.
But the best chance? What about the 26 other teams in the league? That's the problem. Once again, we're in, what, OTAs or is it mini camps? I can't remember right now.
OTA / mini camp.
Okay.
It's like ExxonMobil.
In the NFL. But how many teams in the NFL right now are thinking, and I know the answer, all 32 think they're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. But realistically, as a sports observer, you can say there's probably 10 or 12 teams in the NFL that could be playing for the Lombardi Trophy down the street at U.S. Bank Stadium. In the Major League playoffs, it's early June. How many teams realistically in the major leagues could be playing in the Fall Classic? 10 or 12? You know, 10 or 12 teams out there right now legitimately have a chance to win it all. I think it's fair to say. Maybe 12's high. And then in the NHL, you go into every playoff, chip a chair and a chance. You get in. Look at the Nashville Predators. They were an 8 seed. And now they're down 0-2 in the Stanley Cup
seed
final.
Overall.
But my point being is, in the NBA, we're kind of saying, well, if Chris Paul leaves the LA Clippers and joins San Antonio, maybe they can get into that next group that can – that's a problem.
Well, that's where we're at, and
I mean,
it is a problem.
Where does that put the Timberwolves? Where does that put the Bucks? Where does that put the Jazz? These teams that have young talent, I like the Bucks. I like the Timberwolves' future. I really like the Utah Jazz and what they've put together. I like that team, but come on. Going up against Golden State or Cleveland?
Here's part of the deal, though. Part of the deal is how good is your organization? The Golden State Warriors, who once upon a time were a laughingstock, they were a bottom feeder 7 or 8 years ago. But they started to do things right, and they drafted a Steph Curry, a Klay Thompson. Mark Jackson did very good as a head coach, didn't work out there. Then they bring in Steve Kerr. Yeah. They add Jerry West into the front office. They have made some outstanding organizational decisions. And so the rest of the teams in the NBA, they need to get their act together. And that includes right here in Minnesota. How many mistakes have we seen with the Timberwolves? Passing on Steph Curry twice, the David Kahn regime, the Kurt Rambis regime, Rick Adelman. Tillman regime wasn't really that good. I mean, Tom Thibodeau's first year, they only win 31 games. Sam Mitchell, they win 29. I mean, at some point, these other organizations need to look in the mirror and say, it's on us. What has Golden State or Cleveland done illegally? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. They have built their teams the right way, the fair way, and now we have super teams. And that's the way it's all played out. Think about it. Cleveland, LeBron goes back to Cleveland because he's from Akron. But, I mean, that's not necessarily a destination city, but now it is because there's a culture of winning.
Here's the thing. These two teams, despite Kevin Durant getting basically making a free agent move from Oklahoma City to Oakland, these two teams were built in a couple of different ways. Cleveland, they do have some homegrown talent, but they got a lot of their stars.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving's the main example.
Yeah.
But LeBron James, even though he was...
And they won a couple of lotteries.
Yes. But LeBron James, technically, he was a homegrown product because he started with Cleveland, but now he won his rings in Miami, came back. Kevin Love from Minnesota. The Wiggins trade. J.R. Smith and Nemanja Šumpert. You know, Darren Williams, Kyle Korver, they bring these people in from all over the league.
They're veterans just joining the party.
Golden State has grown everything themselves except for Kevin Durant and maybe Andre Iguodala. But all those other guys, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond
Green. And Kevin
Green,
Durant just joined the party. It was kind of like, hey, I want to play
with
these guys.
And so, the reason he went there is because the culture of winning exists and Kevin Durant wants a championship.
So they're going about it in different ways. And this just tells the league there are different ways you can put these together. But there are going to be some questions in the offseason that people are going to watch. Eric brought up one thing. Chris Paul, will he go to – or I'm sorry, you brought it up, Steve.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, will he go to San Antonio?
That's been one of the hot rumors.
Yes.
Is that percolating?
Will Gordon Hayward go to Boston?
With Paul George, I've even heard in the mix.
What will Boston do with that number one overall pick? What will the Washington Wizards do? Because they had a good opportunity to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I believe that they would have been a better matchup for Cleveland, against Cleveland. What does Utah do? Can they keep that together? Will they keep Gordon Hayward out in Salt Lake City? There are going to be some real interesting questions coming up this offseason to try to see which teams can jockey to get in position to even challenge Golden State and Cleveland, and which ones can draft well in the NBA draft with their selection.
We are at a unique time. I mean, we've seen in the past the Lakers and Celtics basically dominate a decade, or the Chicago Bulls dominate a decade, or the old Boston Celtics dominate the 60s. But this feels a little different because, as you said, Stevie T, where are the other 28 teams in the association? Is anybody even going to be able to throw a punch next season at the Cavs or the Warriors and prevent, you know, a four-peat, if you will, as far as the NBA Finals go? But I still think it comes down to each organization. They have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, we got to quit making the same mistakes over and over. The New York Knicks, to me, they're a grease fire. They have a horrible owner. Phil Jackson has not proven he can turn it around there. They change head coaches constantly. So, I mean, you start looking at some of these teams, the blame is on them. Don't blame Kevin Durant, and don't blame LeBron and all these guys for going to these teams. They go to these teams because they think they can win there.
All right, quick break. We've got more Sports Saturday in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
5 minutes now in front of four. Eric goes solo on a Sports Saturday between 4 and 6. E, what do you got coming up?
All right, we'll have the business of sports with our good friend Billy Robertson. We'll get into that U of M ticket scandal and what's that doing for the image over there of the Gopher program in Dinkytown. Everson Griffin going to join us from the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin Lynch in the 5 o'clock hour. I know you talked to him the other day. We'll get some NBA Finals chit-chat from Kevin. And Bob Nightingale from USA Today. A lot going on with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and Kev's got a lot going on. He's got those camps coming up this summer that he's been doing for years. Are you going to be a busy man this summer?
Yeah, good for Kevin. I mean, he certainly has been able to parlay his Gopher career, his NBA career, into a lot of good stuff now with Fox Sports North and the camps, and he stayed local, but he's certainly dialed into the game. So that should be interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, he loves the NBA. I mean, he loves watching the games. and breaking the games down for sure. Look forward to it. A couple other things. Stanley Cup final tonight. We've got Pittsburgh at Nashville. Penguins won the first two games of the series and can take a decisive 3-0 lead in this series. It just looks like the Penguins have a little bit too much firepower. But what a great story. Jake Guentzel and coming up and turning into a playoff superstar on a team filled with superstars, including what many consider as the top player in the world right now in Sidney Crosby.
It is remarkable, and the St. Paul Pioneer Press had a great story on Guentzel today.
Yeah, Chad Graff.
Exactly, a guy you have on often. He said Guentzel moved back in with his parents last summer in Woodbury. And, you know, the thought was with his dad, Mike, who, of course, longtime Gopher assistant coach, all right, we'll get you ready, and hopefully you can get a cup of coffee with the big club. You might be in the AHL for a while. This thing turned on a dime. His very first game in November, first shift, first shot, gets a goal, gets another goal that night. Now he's got 12 goals in the postseason. Only Dino Cicerelli has scored more playoff goals as a rookie, and we all know about Dino here in Minnesota. Yeah. Jake Guentzel out of Woodbury, who a year ago playing for the Scranton Wilkes-Barre AHL team, might get the Conn Smythe Trophy. I mean, Malkin's got better numbers, and you know Crosby may end up getting it. Although I will say this, don't sleep on Nashville yet. Tonight's a huge game, and it should be fun down there in Hockey Tonk Country.
Yeah, Guentzel's the only reason I'm rooting for the Penguins. I'd love to see the Predators get it done, another 8 seed in the Western Conference, all of the LA Kings. All right, Eric, look forward to it. We have the news and weather coming up at 4, then Eric goes solo on this Saturday. Don't forget Sid and Dave, Sports Huddle, along with Mike Mack, starting at 9:30.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.